Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Michelle Hadley. She is the topic of a Netflix documentary titled A Toxic Love Story. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Michelle Suzanne Hadley was born on December 20, 1986, and was raised in Ontario, California. In August 2013, she became romantically involved with a man named Ian Richard Diaz. He was born in 1978, so he was about 8 years older than Michelle. Ian worked as a deputy U.S. Marshal, but prior to this, he had worked at Disneyland in Anaheim, California. Ian was very into Disney. He was a big fan. According to Michelle, her romantic relationship with Ian deteriorated because he badgered her repeatedly to participate in his sexual fantasies. He strongly desired for her to have sex with strangers. This is referred to as a cuckold fantasy. The word cuckold derives from the cuckoo bird because this creature has a tendency to lay its eggs in the nests of other birds. The sexual fantasy has three primary figures. The husband, who is often the main proponent of the fantasy, is referred to as the cuckold. His wife, who has sex with a stranger, is referred to as the cuckoldress. And the stranger is referred to as the bull. The idea behind this fantasy is that the cuckold receives sexual gratification from being humiliated by the bull. On February 14, 2014, Michelle gave in to Ian's desires to engage in a cuckold fantasy, believing this would satisfy him permanently and he would never ask again. This is all according to Michelle. Ian invited a man who he found on Craigslist to his home to have sex with Michelle. During the encounter, Ian watched the action from another room using cameras he installed in the room where Michelle and the man were having sex. Michelle was disturbed by the incident and told Ian the encounter felt like a sexual assault. This characterization angered Ian. Despite this disagreement, the couple continued their romantic relationship. On June 5, 2015, they purchased a $470,000 condominium at 1801 East Catella Avenue in Anaheim, California. This complex is called the Stadium Lofts Condominiums. Michelle made the down payment and covered the closing costs for a total of $14,000. The couple took out a mortgage for almost $460,000. A major selling point for this particular condominium was how a person could see the Disneyland fireworks from it. After the couple moved in, Ian allegedly continued expressing an interest in cuckold fantasies. It appeared as though a theme of watching fireworks from a distance had emerged. In August 2015, Michelle ended the romantic relationship with Ian and moved out of the condominium. She was later diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. In September 2015, Ian Diaz filed for a temporary restraining order against Michelle Hadley based on emails that she sent to him. His request was denied. On November 24, 2015, Michelle and Ian entered into an agreement where Ian would pay her $3,000 for a quitclaim deed. Ian agreed to get his own mortgage by June 5, 2016. In January 2016, Ian became romantically involved with a woman named Angela Connell. Ian proposed within weeks, and the couple married in February 2016. Angela moved into the condominium with Ian. On May 22, 2016, 7 months after the agreement regarding the condominium was made, Michelle sent an email to Ian stating her intent to enforce the agreement because he had not taken any steps to get a mortgage. 2 days later, on May 24, Michelle received LinkedIn messages and emails urging her to warn Angela Connell about Ian Diaz. The name associated with these communications was Lilith. Michelle did not know who this was. However, she had used the name Lilith in emails that she had previously sent to Ian. Michelle became concerned that Ian was plotting something against her. Eventually, she quit her job, dropped out of business school, and moved in with her parents in Ontario, California. On the next day, May 25, 2016, Angela started receiving emails warning her about Ian. She also started receiving threatening and graphic emails and messages from someone impersonating Michelle. On June 1, 2016, Michelle received an email from an address belonging to Angela, warning her about a temporary restraining order that had been filed against her. Ian and Angela went to the police and reported receiving threatening messages from Michelle. On June 3, Michelle learned that Ian's application for a mortgage had been denied. On June 6, 2016, the police served a temporary restraining order against Michelle, telling her to stay away from Angela. Over the next several days, Michelle repeatedly told the police that she was being framed. She was not the one sending these emails. Starting on June 13, 2016, Ian and Angela claimed that men responding to Craigslist advertisements were being directed to their condominium for sexual encounters with Angela. They told the police that Michelle was impersonating Angela and arranging for strangers to attack her. During an incident that occurred on that same day, a man arrived at the condominium gate. When the police responded, Ian was outside wearing his deputy U.S. Marshal badge around his neck and holding an unholstered pistol, as if he was prepared to defend himself against the person responding to the Craigslist advertisement. Ian and Angela blamed Michelle and urged the police to arrest her. On June 18, 2016, investigators discovered that one of the Craigslist advertisements was linked to an email account belonging to Ian. This made it seem like Ian was responsible and was trying to frame Michelle, which is exactly what Michelle had been telling the police. On June 21, records from Microsoft revealed that two emails attributed to Michelle originated from the condominium where Ian and Angela lived. Michelle had not lived there for several months. These emails also supported the idea that Michelle was being framed. On June 24, 2016, Angela called 911 and said that she had been attacked by a stranger from Craigslist who showed up at her home to have sex with her. The police reviewed video surveillance from the condominium, but they did not see any evidence of an attack. Despite this, Michelle was arrested at her parents' home at 11:45 p.m. that day. All her electronic devices were seized. She posted bail the following morning. On July 13, Ian and Angela reported to the police that another Craigslist respondent was coming to their condominium for a sexual encounter with Angela. When the individual showed up, he was detained by the police and questioned. The police interpreted this as further evidence that Michelle was trying to get Angela attacked. On the next day, July 14, 2016, Michelle was arrested for a second time and charged with arranging sexual attacks against Angela. She was placed in the Orange County Central Women's Jail. As the investigation continued, the police discovered that none of Michelle's electronic devices had transmitted the incriminating emails or messages. In another surprising development, Ian accused Angela of lying to him about being pregnant. On September 30, 2016, he met with the police and said that he believed Angela had framed Michelle. This, of course, was a complete departure from his prior assertions. He was now acting as if he had been deceived by Angela. As Ian put it, he was sleeping with the enemy. In October 2016, the prosecutor handling Michelle's case released her from custody. On January 6, 2017, Angela was charged with kidnapping, false imprisonment, forgery, possession of a forged check over $950, perjury, grand theft, falsely reporting a crime to a police agency, and falsely reporting a crime to a peace officer. 3 days later, all the criminal charges against Michelle Hadley were dismissed. She was fully exonerated from any criminal wrongdoing. Despite being innocent, Michelle had spent 88 days in jail. Ultimately, Angela pleaded guilty to all the charges and was sentenced to 5 years in prison. She was released in July 2020. Angela later moved to indigenous lands in Phoenix, Arizona, and worked as the director of an abortion hotline. After Angela's conviction, the Anaheim police were satisfied that the case had a just resolution. Michelle had been exonerated, Angela had gone to prison, and Ian must have been manipulated by Angela. He was a victim, too. Ian was a deputy U.S. Marshal, which meant he was a Department of Justice employee. A federal investigation was launched and found evidence that Ian was involved in the scheme to frame Michelle. In April 2021, the city of Anaheim, California, agreed to pay Michelle Hadley $1.795 million to settle a civil rights lawsuit. On May 13, 2021, Ian Diaz was arrested and charged with cyberstalking, conspiracy to commit cyberstalking, and perjury. Later, he was also charged with obstruction of a federal proceeding. On March 23, 2023, Ian was convicted of all charges. On June 30 of that same year, he was sentenced to 10 years and 1 month in prison. His projected release date is January 31, 2031. Now moving to my analysis. There is no question that Angela was guilty of framing Michelle. Angela pleaded guilty, and there was a good deal of credible evidence against her. Ian never pleaded guilty and maintains his innocence, despite being convicted at trial. Was he actually guilty as well? In my opinion, Ian was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. The evidence against him was compelling. For example, Ian personally communicated with a man who appeared at the condominium gate on June 13, 2016, to have sex with Angela. When the police arrived, Ian had his deputy U.S. Marshal badge around his neck and was holding a pistol, as if he was afraid of the man. Why would he be afraid of someone who he had lured there? Files recovered from Ian's electronic devices suggested that he had sent incriminating emails. Ian had accessed Angela's accounts, contrary to a later sworn statement that he had never done so. Ian deleted 2 email accounts that were used in the scheme, and prior sexual partners said that Ian proposed and engaged in sexual encounters involving third parties. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Ian Diaz was obsessed with cuckold fantasies. His persistence about fulfilling these fantasies strained and eventually ended his relationship with Michelle. Her accusations about feeling like she was the victim of a sexual assault angered Ian. The condominium situation was also a sore spot for him. He agreed to get a mortgage, but he did not have enough money to qualify for one. During the ongoing dispute between the couple, Michelle sent Ian 2 email messages. One of them said, "Get ready, the truth is coming," and "Please explain to your real estate attorney that God's law is above all laws, including the law of man." There was also a reference to a mythical demon named Lilith. These emails did not constitute a threat or any other crime, but they were a little disturbing. Ian decided to use this against Michelle. In September 2015, he tried to get a temporary restraining order against her, but was unsuccessful. A few months later, Ian became romantically involved with Angela Connell, and they quickly married. Angela had a history of lying to gain sympathy and empathy. A former romantic partner of hers said that she faked cancer in 2013. The romance between Ian and Angela represented a destructive combination. Ian was vindictive, petty, and had knowledge of law enforcement tactics. Angela was a deceptive individual who craved attention. They decided to build on Ian's earlier idea to hurt Michelle by playing the victim, but this time they would launch what they believed to be a much more sophisticated scheme. They started sending emails using the fire and brimstone style of communication featured in Michelle's emails to Ian. This was enough to convince the police that Michelle must have sent all the harassing messages. Another factor that weighed into the decision to arrest Michelle was Ian's status as a deputy U.S. Marshal. The police had become his unwitting conspirators. He easily manipulated them. His plot was not really that sophisticated. It essentially involved Angela using a phone to send emails. Law enforcement had information prior to arresting Michelle the first time, indicating that Ian and Angela were responsible, but they ignored it. After settling with Michelle for almost $1.8 million, the police did something that was all too common in this story. They played the victim, implying that Ian and Angela were master criminals who could have deceived any law enforcement agency in the world into arresting an innocent person. In reality, these criminals simply exposed the gullibility and bias of the police. Now moving to my final thoughts. What did I think of the Netflix documentary, A Toxic Love Story? The case of Michelle Hadley had been covered before, so when I saw that a documentary was coming out, I wondered if it would really add something meaningful to the story. When I watched it, I was disappointed that it didn't really bring anything new. Michelle had been interviewed before, so having her participate in the documentary didn't really make a big difference. Angela refused to participate in the documentary, her perspective would have been interesting, but they couldn't talk to her. Even without Angela's participation, the documentary could have made a meaningful contribution by exploring how the Anaheim Police Department egregiously failed Michelle. Law enforcement placed all the blame on Ian and Angela, but the police shared blame too. This story was really about the tendency of law enforcement officers to lend tremendous credibility to their colleagues. In my opinion, this documentary represents a missed opportunity. It glossed over a compelling angle and instead rehashed what was already known. The filmmakers found a story about law enforcement tunnel vision and somehow developed tunnel vision of their own. Those are my thoughts on the case of Michelle Hadley. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.